From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Jeanine Añez has declared herself the leader of Bolivia just days after incumbent President Evo Morales was forced to step down when the military abandoned him. With Morales in exile in Mexico, Añez declared herself leader of the Senate and the interim president in a half-empty legislative session lacking quorum. Over the weekend, reports emerged from Bolivia where indigenous communities in the majority indigenous nation are facing a violent crackdown from security forces. But Western media coverage has failed to provide the historical and political context for how the left-wing government of Evo Morales has been upended by a far-right movement through anti-democratic methods. Through the lens of corporate media, Morales is the undemocratic tyrant. My guest is Alan McLeod. He is the author of Bad News from Venezuela, 20 Years of Fake News and Misreporting. He just wrote the piece, The Bolivian Coup is Not a Coup, because the U.S. wanted it to happen, for the media watchdog group, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. Welcome to the program, Alan.
It's good to be with you.
So you wrote an article for Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, showing how the U.S. media has covered the Bolivia situation with President Evo Morales stepping down. And you titled it saying that the Bolivian coup is not a coup because the U.S. wanted it to happen. What did you mean by that?
Right. Well, so the generals going on television insisting that a civilian head of state step down seems like the textbook definition of a coup to me, a Latin American style coup in a banana republic. And yet, when you look at the media coverage, overwhelmingly the mainstream are insisting that this is not a coup, but rather that Evo Morales has stepped down of his own accord due to protests around the election that happened last month. So we saw the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Wall Street Journal editorial boards all coming out and saying that they welcomed this the resignation, and it was not a coup, and that this was a step forward for democracy, which was exactly the same line as the Trump administration took.
So the situation as it has played out has now resulted in Jeanine Añez declaring herself interim leader of Bolivia. This is reminding me, and I'm sure you and many others, a lot of what happened in Venezuela with Juan Guaido declaring himself president there, although of course there Nicolas Maduro has not actually stepped down. How do you assess US and Western media coverage of Jeanine Añez's self-declaration of leadership?
Well, you know, Añez has immediately recognized Juan Guaido as the president of Venezuela, but certainly the coverage of Añez has been very, very positive. So we've seen the Australian, for instance, call her a women's rights activist. Other mainstream outlets have called her the Angelina Jolie of Bolivian politics. Generally, they call her a conservative and a Christian, which is true to an extent, but really, you can see that her views are quite reactionary. In fact, for instance, when she arrived at the palace, she was holding an oversized leather-bound Bible, shouting that the Bible has returned to the palace of the presidential palace in Bolivia. She's called the Aymara population, which make up 42% of the country, satanic, and insisted that they shouldn't be allowed to live in cities, but should be forced into the highlands or the desert. Despite this, even media which has a liberal audience has been very positive with Añez, calling her a breath of fresh air. And this is quite worrying given the history of Latin America and what could happen there.
And in the Western media coverage of what's happened in Bolivia, did you notice any of that historical framing of US-backing for coups in Latin America? Because that is so critical to any of this type of political happening in Latin American countries. The Western media will look back on, you know, countries like Chile, et cetera, years later and acknowledge what happened. But when things are actually breaking, do they ever, and in the case of Bolivia, have they acknowledged that historical background?
Right, exactly. The mainstream press tends to have a very short memory when it comes to Latin America. So the United States has interfered with or even overthrown many countries in the 20th and 21st century. However, generally, if the media does acknowledge this, it is only to say that that was then, this is now, and it's very different now. And so there's not this historical context given to its readership or its viewership, which is so crucial to understanding the events in Latin America. And the result of that is that we get a very fractured and fragmented story about the place where viewers and readers really don't understand or don't have the context necessary to understand what's going on.
The situation in Bolivia is very much premised on election results. When Morales very recently won re-election to a fourth term, the Organization of American States was the one that cast doubts on the election's integrity. And it has been that report that has been uncritically repeated and reported in the mainstream media. Again, is there context missing for what the OAS is and how it has historically played a role?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the OAS is a Cold War institution based in Washington, funded by the Trump administration for the most part. And they have existed for the last 60 years to prevent the spread of leftist governments in Latin America. So, for instance, after the Cuban Revolution, it passed a resolution saying that communism was incompatible with Latin American values. The OAS was also critical in greenlighting the coup in Haiti and papering over any objections to what happened there. In terms of what happened in Bolivia in October, Evo Morales won 47% of the vote in the election, which was enough considering that his nearest challenger was over 11 points behind him to secure the presidency in the first round. The opposition immediately cried foul, and the OAS also backed this up, saying there were irregularities. But they didn't actually cite any specific irregularities.
Or whether if those irregularities would have been enough to overcome an 11-point lead.
Yes, exactly. I mean, the opposition, their official position is that, no, we didn't lose the election by 11 points. It was only about 9.5 points. And so therefore, the coup is justified. But
wow.
Yes, the only organization that actually looked into this was the Center for Economic Policy Research. And they went through the numbers and did the mathematical calculations, and they said that the results are entirely consistent with what was put out by the Bolivian government.
Another angle that appears to be completely missing from mainstream media coverage is the fact that Bolivia is an indigenous majority nation, right? Majority of the nation's population is indigenous, which is quite rare in this hemisphere. And that for the vast majority of Bolivia's history, it has been ruled by non-indigenous leaders up until Evo Morales. That context is critical too, right?
That's right. He's actually the first indigenous leader of Bolivia for 500 years since Christopher Columbus arrived in South America. As I said, as you said, the indigenous people make up the large majority of Bolivia. By some census reports, up to 85 or 90% of people claim an indigenous background. And yet this new government has very, very few indigenous supporters and even fewer indigenous faces in positions of power. As I said before, Jeanine Añez said that indigenous people were satanic and unchristian and they had to be forced out of the cities. And this is really the sort of background in what we have to understand as a white supremacist movement going on in Bolivia and across Latin America.
Right. So essentially, she is bringing a colonial sensibility to an indigenous majority nation. You point out in your piece in FAIR that the protesters that show up to express their dissent are also covered quite differently depending upon U.S. interests and where they lie in mainstream media. So contrast for us how the protests against Morales' government in Bolivia has been covered compared to, say, people against Maduro in Venezuela, or even compared to, on the other side of it, Chile's right-wing U.S.-backed President Sebastián Piñera.
Sure. So, in terms of Chile, for instance, we're having an enormous protest, over 1 million people out on most days to protest the right-wing neoliberal government of Sebastián Piñera. But when we look at the corporate press, how they present the issue is that these people are not protesters, but they're vandals, they're rioters engaged in subversion. But when we look at how the protesters against Evo Morales are presented, it turns out that they are a pro-democracy movement trying to gain independence and bring back a sense of justice and democracy for the country. And it's the same thing with the protests against Maduro. It doesn't really matter how violent or anti-democratic these protests are. There's very little that these people can do to gain a bad reputation in the press. That's because they are advocating and fighting for a world that would be very much in line with what the US government and big corporations would want for those societies.
One wouldn't be surprised by the government taking these double standards in American interests, but for the media to do it, for the media to echo and amplify the government's double standards, is a big failure of journalism, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, although, of course, the Trump administration and successive US governments have put pressure on leftist governments and even tried to overthrow them, we've seen that the big press has time and time again gone hand in hand with that administration's their ideas. So, for instance, the New York Times has not opposed a United States coup in the last 60 years, and it came out very strongly in favor of the Trump administration's plans for Bolivia. We saw the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post do the same. It would be very easy, perhaps, for some of these media to bash Trump by saying he's being anti-democratic, but what we find out is that actually the resistance media tends to oppose Trump when he starts to say certain anti-war sentiments and backs him up most effectively when he starts rattling the saber at other countries, be that Bolivia, Venezuela, Iran, North Korea, or any others.
There was an interesting article in the New York Times, I believe it was, that showed how socialism had actually been quite successful in Bolivia before the elections took place, before the unrest, and before he actually stepped down, in what he and others considered a coup. It was really interesting to see how the times and really Bolivia has been seen over the years, even by Western media, who have had to been sort of forced to admit, right, that Bolivia's socialism and that Morales's socialism actually reduced inequality in the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Bolivia has, in the last 15 years, become a hot topic of interest with academics, social scientists, economists, epidemiologists. And that's because they've radically changed the way they govern their society. And they've had very, very successful numbers coming out of the country. So, for instance, the Movement to Socialism Party has reduced poverty by 42% under Morales and extreme poverty by over half. They cut in unemployment by half as well, and they built huge numbers of public housing and created a nationalized, socialized, free health service. They spend an awful lot on food and education and health for the population. And they managed to do that by nationalizing the country's key resources, the mining sector and the hydrocarbon sector, which previously had been owned by Western corporations who were making very large profits from the country.
And actually, I want to correct myself. I said the New York Times. It was actually an article in the Washington Post, and it was in October, this past October 16, 2019, and it was entitled "Socialism Doesn't Work: An Emerging Middle Class of Bolivians Would Beg to Differ." Very fascinating article showing how inequality has definitely been reduced under Morales's government. Quite the opposite happening in Chile, right, where under the free market capitalist policies of US-backed Sebastian Piñera, you've seen inequality skyrocket.
Yeah, that's right. And this has perhaps the main reason for the protests that are going on. The protests in Chile were triggered by a 30 peso rise in transport fees. But as the protests say, it's not about 30 pesos, it's about the 30 years, meaning the 30 years of neoliberal policies, which have gradually increased the inequality in the country to make it one of the most unequal countries in the world, where poverty and extreme wealth go hand in hand. And that is really the trigger for these enormous protests against Piñera.
How has Maduro been cast in all of this? Nicolas Maduro, who has been the favorite bogeyman of both Western governments and Western media, is being cited as having a hand in a lot of the unrest against right-wing governments in Latin America, as if he has this great amount of power that he apparently can't wield effectively enough at home, but is wielding in other countries.
Yeah, at the same time as they're talking about him being an ineffectual and weak ruler, they're also claiming that he's got this enormous network of spies and agitators that are able to whip up millions of people in protest around the world, whether that's Chile or Argentina or Ecuador. This is a mainstay of a lot of the reporting. But when you actually look into it, there are very few details behind these assertions.
Now, there are some on the left, staying on the issue of Bolivia, that are saying that it's not entirely black and white. I'm looking at a piece written by Martin Winiecki in Common Dreams that brought up four provocations for the international left, saying that Morales did overplay his hand and that he did actually have double standards. Even though he talked about pro-climate policy, he was pushing sort of extractive policies at home, and that the sort of uncritical coverage from the left is not helpful. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, I would say that let's assume for a second that all those critiques are absolutely true. Mm-hmm. It seems very odd that just at this point where Evo Morales has been overthrown and a far-right dictatorship has emerged that is massacring its citizens in the streets, where Jeanine Añez has publicly said that she has given a pre-exoneration to all security forces to clean up Bolivia, meaning that they have a carte blanche, a license to kill. It seems very odd right now that this is the time to micro scrutinize the Morales administration's foibles. Certainly far from perfect, but the fact of the matter is that no government really in the world can be perfect, and Morales was better than most.
Right. So let's talk about what you just mentioned, which is the violence on the streets. After Añez took over, after Morales stepped down and you had this person come in, there the violence has only increased in the streets. And previously there was violence, I understand, at the hands of some of the right-wing protesters, but now you're seeing the security forces under this new government join in. And a big factor in tilting the political situation away from Morales was his losing support of the military. So what is happening on the streets, as far as you know, that is not getting enough or any, perhaps, coverage in the Western media?
Sure. Well, the security forces have been caught gleefully burning their Wipala indigenous flags from their uniforms, cutting them off and burning them in the streets, which is a clear sign of what sort of society they are hoping will come about from the Añez administration. As I said, Añez has given the security forces a license to kill, and they have been using that very effectively. They've been shooting live ammunition, using tanks, and even attack helicopters on indigenous protesters across the country. On November 15th, for instance, there was a massacre in Cochabamba of 9 indigenous leaders. We've seen television stations being taken off the air, journalists being shot. Añez's communication minister has come out with a list of subversive journalists that she wants detained. This is a classic coup situation in Latin America, and yet very little of this is being presented to us in Western media. So whenever these things are even referenced, which is unusual, sometimes they will refer to these massacres as clashes between protesters and police. And that really gives a certain, it doesn't really give us the real sense of agency of what's going on. These are just clashes that, you know, anybody could be at fault. Maybe it's the police, maybe it's the protesters, who knows?
And Cochabamba is a very important part of the indigenous community in Bolivia, where Morales enjoyed strong support. You're right, it's mostly been independent media and Spanish language media that have been covering that massacre. Almost nothing that I can see at all in the Western media. Again, if this was being done by a leader that was unpopular with the U.S., this massacre would have been cause for the U.S. to go in and back the leader in power, or to back, you know, or to rather challenge the leader in power, saying that this was a massive violation of human rights and humanitarian crisis. So what do you think Western media, if you were able to give advice to the editorial boards of the New York Times or the Washington Post or the Associated Press or any of these mainstream, you know, CNN, what would you suggest that they do when it comes to Bolivia in terms of giving fairer coverage to the story?
Well, one thing they could do is just report accurately on what we can all see on social media, which is the images and graphic images of the violence that's going on. I'm not sure I would really tell them to do anything, because ultimately the role of these enormous media corporations is not to provide us with the truth. It is to give us a certain view of the world that is commensurate with their backers and their owners' interests, and telling us a lot about democratic uprisings by indigenous people, and those are being crushed by US loyal presidents, is really not something that these big media companies want to tell us in the first place.
It's amazing how there's so much support for democracy until a person who's considered a vanguard of these right-wing movements simply declares themselves a leader without any democratic backing whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly. Añez's party got 4% of the vote in the previous election, compared to Morales's 47%. And yet the editorial board seem rather quiet about the fact that she's now president, when they were very disappointed and angered almost by the fact that Morales was staying on for another term.
And of course, one can argue, as our previous guest that we had had on Bolivia suggested, one can argue about whether or not removing term limits is a good idea. But if you run in an election and you actually win the most votes, or enough votes to win, you have won that election.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to see. What has Morales's party been able to do? Because they do have political power in the legislature, right? So what have they been able to do, as he has been forced to flee to Mexico? Have they been able to hold on to any political power, or at least stop that right-wing tide?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of them have had to go into hiding, or have been forced to resign themselves, after many of their family members have been kidnapped by the democratic forces that that are now controlling the society. The MAS, though, have formally the Movement to Socialism, the MAS party, have formally declared that that they don't recognize Añez, and they will try to block her in the courts and in the parliament. And that's really going to lead to some sort of crunch time in the future, where we'll see what happens to the fate of Bolivia.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Alan. We link to your article in Fairness and Accuracy and Reporting from our website. Thank you so much.
It was great. Anytime.
My guest is Alan MacLeod. He is the author of Bad News from Venezuela, 20 Years of Fake News and Misreporting. He just published a piece in Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting called The Bolivian Coup is Not a Coup Because the U.S. Wanted It to Happen. We've been discussing the latest situation in Bolivia. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.